This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on, though, to, perhaps more serious matters. Our first story of the hour is about the Cameron Highlands by-election and how Barisan Nasional has named Ramli Mohammed Noor as its candidate.
It's a move that analysts have said will result in a win-win situation for Barisan, whatever the outcome. This is because UMNO will not be embarrassed, even if the candidate loses, as he is not from any of the component parties.
University Utara Malaysia political science lecturer Dr. Kamarul Yunus Zaman said that Ramli is a good candidate because he's well known among the Semai tribe and also happens to be the treasurer for Persatuan Orang Asli Semenanjung Malaysia. And the 60-year-old Ramli is from the Semai tribe in post-Mensun Ringlet in Cameron Highlands. He retired from the police as the Commercial Crimes Division Chief and is now doing his PhD in Business Studies.
But despite his credentials, he's facing an uphill battle against Pakatan Harapan's M. Manugaran, who is now backed by the party's machinery, media and finances. The decision by BN to field an Orang Asli candidate is also due to the number of Orang Asli voters in Cameron Highlands. The votes, predominantly from the Semai tribe, form the majority in 9 of the 29 voting stations and comprise 22% of the 32,000 voters in Cameron Highlands.
So Kamarul said history is not on BN's side, as the opposition has always found it difficult to win by-elections against ruling government candidates. But he said unless it involves a famous leader. That was the caveat. But BN's decision, of course, is also influenced by wanting to reduce the discontent among component parties when their candidates were not chosen to contest.
For another political analyst, Professor Dr. Awang Pawi, he sees Ramli having the advantage backed by his credentials, the past factor and existing Pakatan problems. He said Manugaran's recent comments about how the Malays won't even buy kuih from Orang Asli will hurt his chances among both sets of voters, adding that although he has already apologised for the comments, it would seem that he is insensitive and doesn't understand the local culture.
So a quick run of numbers, and for context sake, in the last elections, MIC's Sivaraj Chandran won by 597 votes after picking up 10,307 votes compared to DAP's M. Manugaran. PAS's Wan Mahade, PSM's Suresh Kumar Balasubramaniam and Berjasa's Muhammad Tahir Kasim followed suit, and there were 32,048 voters in the last elections with a turnout of 76%. The seat comprises 34% Malays, 30% Chinese, 15% Indians, and 22% Orang Asli. So it's an interesting choice, and I think it's... I am feeling quite torn, but I do think it's great that we may potentially see, admittedly it being an uphill battle, that at least hopefully the community or 22% of the community will feel represented by their representative should he win the elections.
Yeah, for me, I think it's just a bit unfortunate that he is with Barisan Nasional. I'm not saying that Pakatan would have been any better. It's just, you know, coming off from the heels of what the party is facing, you know, accusations of corruption.
Accusations of buying votes.
Yeah, that's going to be quite difficult for them.
I'm not sure yet. I think we need a little bit more time in order to find out exactly where he stands. I don't think it's fair to say or to define him as a candidate purely by the fact that he is from the Semai tribe, right? That he's representing Orang Asli within this community. I think that's a great thing, but it shouldn't be the only thing that end up knowing about him, right? Because Cameron Highlands also has a lot of concerns, a lot of different factors that go in there, not least environmental ones. So for me, even though I'm not part of the constituency, I would be very interested to know what his stand is, what his views are, beyond just what we are reading about him. I'm curious to hear what he has to say.
I think this will also maybe be something to look forward to in terms of whether Pakatan still has support of locals here, at least support from the Cameron Highlands, the voters in Cameron Highlands, because traditionally that seat has never been lost to anyone that has always been in BN's hands.
Yes, you're right. It's an interesting It's an interesting one to watch for many, many reasons. We're also going to be speaking later on in the hour about how Bursa is pointing out, well, yeah, people are no longer giving out cash, but now there are all these various ways in which parties might be wooing voters. And that this is also another arena for that to play out. So there are multiple things to watch here. And we're going to be speaking about it in just a little bit with Dr. Oh Yee Sun, who is the Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are talking about the Cameron Highlands by-election. We have on the line Dr. Oh Yee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Yee Sun, thanks again for joining us. So why is the Cameron Highlands seat traditionally one that has been held by Barisan Nasional?
Well, if you look at Cameron Highlands, they are equally divided between basically three big racial groups, and that is the Chinese, the Malays, as well as the Orang Aslis, as well as the Indians and so on. So traditionally, you will see, well, at least in the last two elections, I think most of the Chinese votes would go to the Pakatan Harapan or Pakatan Rakyat candidates. Most of the Malay votes would go for BN. And then the Orang Asli votes, because during those times, the Orang Aslis are very much dependent upon the so-called largesse or handouts given by the government of the day. So a large portion of them also voted for Barisan Nasional. That's why since I think around 2004 and so on, when the seat was first formed, BN has been holding that seat, yeah.
So now BN has fielded an Orang Asli candidate, Ramli Mohammad Noor. What are the odds that he will win? And what are the factors working for and against him?
Well, I, of course, the seat now is still very much in favor of Barisan Nasional. If you look at, for example, the Malay voters there, because it is considered a seat which is, well, in the middle of Peninsular Malaysia, but perhaps slanting a bit more towards the eastern seaboard of Peninsular Malaysia. So in that sense, I think the Malay votes to a large extent would still be with UMNO, even though officially Ramli is not an UMNO candidate. But I think still most of the votes will still be with UMNO, the Malay votes. Chinese votes, I think, will still be the with Pakatan Harapan. Well, then it comes to the question of Orang Asli. And Ramli, being an Orang Asli himself, I think he will draw a significant amount of Orang Asli votes. So I think BN is still the favored winning party here. Yeah.
And what do you think the outcome is going to look like for Pakatan's candidate M. Manogaran?
Well, traditionally, if you look at the last few elections, the winning margin is not actually very big. Sometimes it's about 1,000, sometimes it's down to about 500. So if, for example, the Pakatan Harapan candidates can score better than the last round, I think it will be considered quite good for Pakatan Harapan. So if it can further sort of score a win, of course, that means the support for Pakatan Harapan is still very much up there. Yeah.
So last year when PAS ran for this seat, their candidate got around 3.5k votes. Now that they are not contesting, where do you see these votes going to?
Well, the PAS votes are most likely from the Malay voters. So Ramli being a Muslim and de facto UMNO candidate, even though officially he's not from UMNO, I think those votes are likely to go for him, because PAS and UMNO are now working very closely together, which is why we think that the winning chances for Ramli is quite high. He will have the advantage of being an Orang Asli and from that area, and therefore quite popular among Orang Asli. And then he has the added advantage of the PAS votes would most likely go for him. Yeah.
What do you think it means for MIC to sit out this by-election?
Well, MIC would really have to work very hard to see where is its niche among the various political parties in Malaysia. Number one is perhaps nowadays among the more progressive Indians and Chinese move away from racially based party. So parties such as MIC and MCA would have to work very hard to find their new positioning or niche in the new political spectrum, because the respective racial groups they claim to represent are sort of moving away from racialized parties. So yeah, they have to work very hard. Yeah.
Would you say that this is also the reason why Ramli was fielded as an independent candidate under the BN coalition instead of a component party?
Well yes, indeed. Because the prevalent BN spirit is you should not, one component party should not sort of take away the seat from another component party, right? That's why UMNO should not take away MIC's seat to contest, and therefore they put out a so-called independent candidate. So in this case, I think the only drawback for Ramli would be because BN is no longer in a position to deliver a lot of assistance and largesse to the local community there. So, there might be some among the local voters who may feel that they want to vote for the new government. But I think the numbers of them are still very, very small. So I think overall, Ramli is still favored to win. Yeah.
And if Ramli wins this election, could it be read in any way to signal maybe small tides turning against Pakatan Harapan?
Well, this was originally not a seat which was won by Pakatan. If it was a seat which was won by Pakatan, then you could say that people are starting to have a turning tide. But it was from the very beginning a seat which was won by MIC or BN. So with BN, I must admit, very cleverly put out a candidate like that. So the chances of retaining that seat is very high. And if you were to argue that, Pakatan should have won that seat because now they are in the government, well, Pakatan is not like BN. Pakatan does not believe of giving a lot of handouts to various communities around the country. They want to make sure everybody work hard and so on. So not every voter would be in favor of that. Yeah.
One last question before we let you go. Why haven't we seen more Orang Asli candidates getting fielded in elections?
Well, if you were to see Orang Asli's fielded, primarily they will be fielded in constituencies where they are of significant numbers. And unfortunately, you don't see a lot of these constituencies because Orang Asli still remains a very small minority in this country. Yeah.
Ihsan, thank you for sharing your perspective with us. That was Dr. Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. And if you've got any thoughts or perspective on the upcoming Cameron Highlands by-election, you can WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.